Welcome to GMFC Studios, God's production company.
Praise the Lord, everybody. It's good to be with you on this June 2nd, 2024. We thank the Lord for bringing us this far, and we're looking forward to continuing to go with us in our journey until He calls us to be home with Him. That day is quickly approaching when the Lord is going to crack the sky and call home His bride, the church. But between now and then, we're not alone because He's promised to be with us. So I salute each and every one of you that's made your way out here to the studio. We thank the Lord for you and your presence here with us. It's been a few weeks since we've been in the studio, able to deliver the word over the airways to you. We've been sent of God to different places to speak the word of God. I ask that you continue to pray for us. This coming June 7th, Friday, we'll be doing the funeral for Pastor Dr. Sammy Dixon here in Columbus, Ohio, his church's Praise Temple. And he has gone on in transition to be with the Lord. He's resting from his labor. He's joining his wife in heaven in the presence of the Lord. And we grieve with Praise Temple as they are now dealing with this loss. And we are praying God's strength and peace over that entire congregation and especially the Dixon family. We honor this man, a great man of God, has been in the ministry longer than some of us have been alive. And we just thank the Lord for him and his efforts. But he has finished his course. He has finished the race. And now he is resting and receiving the crown of life and enjoying life eternal. So we thank the Lord for him and the example of his life and all that he has given to us. So we just be praying with us as we go to minister, that the Lord would lay upon us words necessary to speak life and to restore joy, even in such a grievous moment as this. We also thank the Lord for how he's been blessing us to move about and to speak in varying places. We have July 23rd, we'll be down in Portsmouth, Ohio, and we encourage any of you that are able to meet us there to be with us in Portsmouth at Greater Life, the Temple of Praise, where the pastor is Bishop Marcus Bendoff. We thank the Lord. Praise Temple. Living Faith. Yeah, I got, went to the old name. Living Faith, yes. Living Faith there in Portsmouth, Ohio. We encourage you to go with us. It's for the Holy Convocation of Greater Emmanuel, and I'll be opening up the convocation that Tuesday evening, and we're looking to have a glorious time. That's July 23rd, starting at 7 p.m. Please, if you're able, find your way to be down there with us. We're going to have a wonderful time in the Lord there. Again, July 23rd at 7 p.m. at with Pastor Marcus Bendoff. We thank the Lord for him, a mighty man of God, and we're looking to do great things down there. I want to take some time this morning to revisit something that I've talked about. One of the main themes of the ministry God has given me is dealt a lot with the demonic, a lot with the spiritual powers that we know exist, but we cannot see them. And I've often ministered about them. And one of the constant things that I've tried to get the body of Christ to understand is that regardless of whether you believe it or not, just like there are angels assigned to you, there are spiritual powers that are assigned to assassinate you, to take you out in any way that they can, whether it's a assassination of your character, an assassination of your integrity, an assassination of your faith, an assassination of your mental state, your emotional state, your relational state. There are spiritual powers that are assigned specifically to you that will work with other spiritual powers who have what we call familiar spirits, whose job is to kind of hang out and spy you out so that they can know you. And then they know how their cohorts can attack you, what the best plans and methods and strategies would be to affect your spiritual journey in life. And I've talked about this at great length throughout the years, and I want to revisit this because we're living in a time right now where if you're looking at what's going on in the church is under a tremendous attack. And I would argue that the attack upon the church is greater now than it has ever been. And this attack is not just within the spirit. It's affecting both spiritual and natural things. It's dealing with the body of Christ and then those that are not a part of the body who have come against the body of Christ. You'll find that Christianity is under an enormous amount of attack. And that attack is coming even from the system of the world, the courts and the powers that be, governmental agencies are coming against the body. And then there's an attack within the body where many leaders, we call them leaders or we give them the title leaders, they're not really, arguably, they're not really the real leaders of the church, but they have fame or they have some level of power within the body of Christ or they have great influence within the body of Christ. And we find that they have, many of them have succumbed to the very thing which allowed them to speak into many of our lives. And it's affecting the church. Ministry is being altered and changed to drive people to begin to believe things that are just simply not true. And all of these things are connected solely to what is going on in the attack from the spirit world into this natural world, from the kingdom of darkness against the kingdom of the Son of God. And I just want to revisit this idea that this knowledge that we have the power within us through Christ to break the power of the assassination attempts on our life from every spiritual power. And I believe that if we, those who have heard me teach along these lines, and if you're new to this, search out the archives of our sermons and kind of study this for yourself to gain from it what's necessary for you to be successful in your current life. And part of being successful is understanding your struggle, why we deal with some of the things we deal with. And once you're able to put this together, it'll become powerful knowledge for you to apply in your life so that you can begin to live the triumphant life that the Word of God promises you. And I don't want to go too far with this teaching, and I got to remember to balance everything that I'm telling you, of course, with the Word of God, because too many people have taken the Word of God out of context. They've said things, well, you know, the Bible says this, but they say it in a manner in which the Bible was definitely not speaking. And I don't want to call anybody out today. I don't want to do that this morning. I just want the people of God to begin to challenge the things that they're being told, challenge the things that they're hearing, because it's important that you're able to discern for yourself what is going on. Now, many people say, or, they'll have you believe that they, they have a discerning spirit when they are really just suspicious people. And in particular, they're suspicious of those who have treated them badly. It seems like everyone that's crossed them seems to, in their, design has, some type of evil spirit empowering them. I dare that they come against me. And they think that they're discerning some type of demon activity, but they're really not. I've learned throughout the years that some people just don't like you. And it's just, that's just, I'm going to be real with you today. Even in the body of Christ, and I know this boggles the mind to think that you could be in church. And in church, what are you supposed to receive? Oh, you're supposed to receive love, and everyone's supposed to embrace you and treat you right and only talk good about you no matter what you've done. people of God, I'm here to tell you that that's just simply not the way it goes. I've learned throughout my life that some people, even in the body of Christ, will just not like you. And others just have a nasty disposition. But it doesn't mean that they are demon-possessed, like we will be quick to say and put the demon on them because they just don't like you. You just happen to rub them the wrong way. And there are just people that are like that. And we pray for them. And when you come in, if you haven't come into contact with them, stay alive a little bit longer, and you sure will, I promise you. But with that being said, the truth still exists that many people do what they do because they are motivated and dominated by unseen forces that are controlling their lives. And this cannot be understated. We talk about spiritual discernment like it is just for a for believers. But when we don't realize, if you look at children, children discern better than some adults do. And sinners use discernment all the time as a tool to further their sin. Children have better discernment than adults because adults learn how to lie. We lie to each other. I know, not you that's listening to me, but you know, some folks you know, they lie and they suppress their discernment. Sinners operate in the power of discernment, and for the most part, they don't even realize what it is they're exactly doing. They just seem to be doing it very well. Let me give you an example. In my secular life, the job that I have, it draws me out into a world system that is not governed by the things of God, and they have their own way of doing things. And I'm a people watcher. I watch people. I look at people. I listen to things that people say, and I take it in, and I try to understand what it is that I'm seeing. And I've noticed that when some men or women go to the club or, you know, to the bar, they're going for the purpose of getting someone to go home with them. Matter of fact, some of the movies that are out there, you know, comedy movies and romance movies and things like that, they will prey on this very practice. You go to the club, you go to the bar to find your mate. And the whole idea is not really that you're looking for this lasting relationship, but you're looking for the one-night stand. You want to find somebody that you feel will be willing to have sex with you and hang out with you for that night. But hey, let's not get into commitments and responsibilities and things like that. We just, you know, want to have fun and that be the end of it. But you go to the bar for the purpose of finding someone to take home to have sex with, and they know they only have a little bit of time while they're in the club or in the bar to choose the right person to fulfill the desires that they have. And they won't have the time to talk to everyone in the bar or in the club, so they start scanning the room, looking for someone that they feel will not turn them down. They're looking for someone who is willing to go along with their plan. And what's actually occurring is they are discerning the room and relating to unclean spirits. They're looking for something that is like them. The spirit of lust is upon them, and it's drawing them to a willing accomplice, someone that they feel is in the room for the same reason. And unfortunately, things like this, it leads to abusive relationships. And in my line of work outside the ministry, I've seen women who seemingly gravitate from one abusive relationship to another. And you would think that after you get beat up once, that you would never allow it to happen again. Unfortunately, the reality is, in my experience, it has shown me that it is often abused women seem to always find another abuser or the next abuser in subsequent relationships. And I used to not understand why or why they could not break this pattern. But what I've learned throughout my years in my secular job is that there is a spirit assigned to destroy their lives and our lives. And there's a spirit inside the abuser that is looking to connect with an abused person. They're looking to abuse somebody, so they're looking spiritually for someone who is susceptible to abuse. And these two spirits are working in tandem in the events in your life. They have an assignment to assassinate you, to target and attack you, but you can break the devil's power through the word of God and live free in the power of the name of Jesus. And we have to understand, we cannot placate as if, yeah, you know, that sounds all good, but, you know, it's just people being people. In some cases, it is just people being people. They didn't have the, the upbringing necessary to teach them right or wrong. And that's really a rarity. In the majority of cases, what we're dealing with is the influence of the spiritual world on the physical world. And I've also learned, especially in my studies of the spiritual world, that we deal with territorial spirits. In all of my studies and in the lessons that I've been teaching you throughout the years, I've shown you that there are spirits that are assigned to individuals, that are assigned to families, but there are also spirits who are assigned to certain regions in the earth. There are regional powers that are affixed to specific areas to carry out the plan of the kingdom of darkness. And those spirits are called territorial spirits. And this is one of the principles that you need to understand when you're dealing with the demonic realm. You cannot win as an individual or a family or a city until you break the power of the devil that is set against you. Now, if you think I'm just crazy, let me just point to Scripture. In 1 Corinthians 15 and 32, we find that Paul, and let me just, this is a great point to put a plug in for the Grace and Mercy Fellowship Center Bible study, because we are studying 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians right now. And let me tell you, this past Tuesday's Bible study, we almost took off on a rocket ship and found ourselves on Mars. It was that explosive of a Bible study and great conversation and a wonderful time. But I pause for that, you know, that announcement. Tune in if you don't know how to get on it. We'll get that information out to you. But in 1 Corinthians 15 and 32, Paul referred to fighting the beasts at Ephesus. Now, Paul knew that there were territorial spirits that were assigned to that specific area. If you think that that's just a one-off, well, let's talk about Daniel. You remember Daniel? Daniel's a famous person in the Bible. He's in the Old Testament, though. I know some of us have negated the Old Testament. You really should read it. There's a lot of stuff in there. But we read in Daniel that Daniel's prayers were hindered for 21 days in the heavenly realm, that's the spiritual realm, until the angel Michael came and engaged the hindering spirit in spiritual warfare. Daniel 10 and 13 speaks of the prince of the kingdom of Persia and the kings of Persia. You see, there are spirits assigned to regions within our own country as well. Inner cities have spirits that are assigned to them, and suburbs have spirits that are assigned to them, and business districts have spirits that are assigned to them. And many times when you see a high concentration of the manifestation of the domination of darkness and destruction in any specific geographic area, you'll find that what you are dealing with are not a bunch of individual demon-influenced people, but an actual territorial spirit is at work in that area. Right here in the city of Columbus, we have had a wave of violence like we've never seen. Over the last few years, it just seems to be growing into a crescendo. We've had more and more and more senseless violence and murders and attack. And it's not even, you know, adults. In many cases, it's children, juveniles that are found having this. And what we find is that when you see this build, it is the movement of a territorial spirit into an area for the sole purpose to destroy that area. What I've also found very interesting is that these spirits seem to have an unusual ability to keep their victims within the borders of their unseen prison. not even realizing many people find themselves stuck in the very area that they would love to get out of, but for some reason can't seemingly get out of it and don't know why they can't get out of it. People who have been living under the oppressive force of poverty may move several times a year, yet they never leave a particular area of town. I've seen someone who moved frequently but never seemed to get themselves out of a very small radius of an area. And it appears as if they are moving, but in actuality, they're not moving anywhere. They're staying right where they've always been. I've been, I've seen several generations of families grow up in areas with substandard school systems, astronomical teen pregnancy rates and suicide rates, and out of control alcohol problem, and a history of family splits due to infidelity, yet they remain almost oblivious to the spiritual climate that they are in until it hits home. And there is a reason why prostitutes walk certain streets. There's a reason why drugs are easily accessible only in certain neighborhoods. There's a reason why things like rape and suicide and pregnancy will hit a school and spread in almost an epidemic proportion. There's a reason why perverts meet in certain parks and why occult activity is prevalent in one area while vandalism is dominant in another area. The reason for all of this is territorial spirits. Now, if you look across the nation right now, as much as they'd like to say that, you know, America's winning the war on drugs, it's not. I can tell you as a frontline person, we are not winning the war on drugs. We're losing that war, and we're losing it dramatically. And it really begs you to wonder why. With all of the technology and with all of the resources that we have at our disposal, why is it that we cannot get a handle on drugs? You know, one point, drugs was just a problem, and you criminalize it. So then if anyone had drugs, you just locked them up. Well, that didn't help. So then we say, well, now it's some type of mental or physical or medical issue. So now we just let people do all the drugs that they want to do, and we Narcan them and bring them back and let them go out and do it again and just hope that they wake up one day and realize that this is not the life for them. And this isn't working either. You have to understand something. There's a power behind drugs. As a matter of fact, if you look into the original Greek word for drugs, you'll find that the word is pharmakia, which is also translated as sorcery, and it's also the word from which we get the English word pharmacy. Drugs, this is what drugs do. They produce an altered state of consciousness in human beings. This is what drugs do. This is the whole purpose of drugs, to alter your state of being. Why do many people use drugs? They want to escape their state of being. And drugs produce an altered state of consciousness in the human mind and in the human emotion and in the human psyche. And it doesn't have to be pills or powders or things you inject. It can be alcohol as well. Alcohol itself is a drug. And drugs may be used by unclean spirits as instruments of bandage. Now, the wonderful news is this, these addictions can be broken because they have a spiritual root. Heroin has a spirit of insanity that's attached to it. Wherever there is a high concentration of heroin use, you'll find a major issue with witchcraft, mind control, and multiple levels of insanity. Crack has a spirit of violence that's attached to it. Wherever there is a high concentration of crack sales, there is also a high concentration of violent crime. Crack is a violence-producing drug that opens people up to a spirit of rage and a spirit of violence and causes them to kill people, whether they're strangers or they're doing something during a robbery or members of a rival gang or even family members who are perceived as hindrances to the furthering of their addiction. Alcoholism opens people up for a different spirit than crack or heroin does. Every spirit has its own characteristic and function in its own way that's specifically and uniquely different than the way other things function. And people who are bound by depressants have a totally different spirit than those that are bound by accelerants. Instead of attacking you, someone that's bound by a spirit of a depressing spirit, they may withdraw totally because depressants have a depressing spirit attached to them that will eventually bring a person to the point of suicide. Alcohol is just one of many depressants which may cause its victims to flee responsibility, withdraw from family or friends, and even eventually produce a defeated spirit within that person who is bound and set to destroy their own lives. You have to also understand and recognize that reading scripture, we see that males and females have specific spirits assigned to them. And some spirits are more prevalent in one sex than they are in another. For example, the spirit of perversion or pornography are more specifically assigned to men than they are to women. Now, I'm not saying that these spirits will not attach themselves to women or that women will never, ever deal with or struggle with pornography, but it is more a problem with men than it is women. The spirit of rejection and manipulation that breaks up so many families are assigned more frequently to women than they are to men. And we see all these tragedies happening in our society, and they're being caused by spirits who are assigned and targeted towards specific people. Spirits are assigned to individuals. Individuals can have spirits assigned directly to them. King Saul had a spirit that was assigned directly to him, and it was assigned to him for the purpose to destroy him and eventually cause him to kill himself. 1 Samuel 16 and 14 says, "The spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled Saul." In 2 Corinthians 12 and 7, Paul writes this, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, a spirit to buffet me." Now, Paul knew that there was a specific spirit that was assigned to him, and he fought that spirit all the days of his life, even asking the Lord to deliver him from it, and the answer that he received was, "My grace is sufficient for you." Even Jesus had a spirit that was assigned to him, but Jesus was so powerful, only the top demon himself, Satan, would dare approach him. Satan was assigned to Jesus. His assignment was, while Jesus was on the earth, assassinate him. Now, we know from the fourth chapter of the book of Luke that Satan first tried to entice Jesus to kill himself by jumping off the pinnacle of the temple. And when he couldn't tempt Jesus to commit suicide, he tried to incite mobs against Jesus. And eventually, he got those people to kill Jesus. Now, we understand that this is the purpose for which Jesus came, to lay his life down. His life was not taken. It was given for us, that we who were dead in trespass and sin might be alive through the power of Christ, the redeeming work of Jesus at the cross. But I want you to always remember this. Before your ascension comes, your attack attempt will be present. The devil knows when you are getting ready to take a step up. And spiritually, he knows. Naturally, he knows. And he wants to take you out. And it's because of this thing, this desire that he has, like Jesus, we have to fight the power of the devil. Luke 4, 1 through 2 and verse 13 says that Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. That key word, or that key phrase, "for a season," is important. And it's something that we cannot ever forget about. Because this is one of the ways the devil keeps a lifelong hold on people, because we sometimes feel like if we are not in the middle of our crisis, then everything's got to be A-okay. You have to be aware that spirits who are assigned to destroy people will come for a season and they will go for a season. They will come back in another season. They will grab your desires, your mind, your family, your finances, and everything that affects you and cause every kind of havoc that you can think of. Then just before they are detected, they will loosen their hold and you will experience a season of renewed freedom, thinking that you've been somehow delivered and set free. You'll get that bill paid. You won't argue with your spouse, your loved one, your family member, and everything between you will be wonderful. You'll stop giving into an addiction, a struggle that you have for a season. You'll think you've come out on the other side. You've climbed to the top of the mountain and now you're down the backside. But in fact, studies have shown that some alcoholics will quit drinking for 6 months at a time, or even more. Everyone will think that they've been delivered, but all of a sudden, that desire to drink hits them out of left field. That push, that urge, something goes on that stirs that desire again. Assigned spirits cause these cycles of defeat. And that's a person, who can live for 10, 20, 30, or 50 years with the same spiritual force battling for their life. And it comes for a season, it goes for a season, it returns for a season, it departs for a season. And part of its strategy is to remain undetected. And if it stays too long, you will eventually identify that there is a spiritual force behind what you are dealing with, and then you'll know how to deal with that power. But as long as you are blaming your wife, as long as you are blaming your husband, as long as you are blaming your job, as long as you are blaming your supervisor, as long as you are blaming your children, as long as you are blaming your mother-in-law or your father-in-law, your friends, and everyone else, the demon that's really targeted you is safe to continue to work, because you've been targeted for attack. I've seen and experienced what happens to Christian individuals and Christian families who have become the target for a spiritual attack. A crisis suddenly happens in their life, and like a death or in the family, someone close or special to them, or a financial setback comes in, or they get hit with a roof bill that's $40,000, or some other disaster happens. The crisis takes them out of the picture or throws them for a loop, as we say, something that they did not expect. And when we try to get motivated to return to church, the car breaks down and they can't get there. Or the church doors close. Oh, why was I even going to that church? Then, without warning, they lose their job, or their daughter or son, has an issue with pregnancy, and before we realize it, they're out of church for 6 weeks, 12 weeks, and more. They want to return, but they find themselves just unable to do so. And this is a hard fact. Nothing will change in your situation until you recognize that you are dealing with a spiritual attack. Rather than trying to solve your problems in the natural realm, you as an individual or as a couple or even as an entire family unit must come together and stand in agreement that you've come under spiritual attack and have been targeted for assassination. Then, while standing in agreement, you must push that evil power out of your life. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Don't think it's a small thing when circumstances pull you out of the house of God and so consume your thoughts, your energy, and your resources that you begin to lose your desire for the very things of God. It could be the first step on the road of your devastation. Too many have been taken out simply because they did not realize that they were targeted. I want to talk to you more about this idea that you are so, here's the thing, you are so important. You don't realize it, but you are so important to the things of God that the enemy himself has targeted you to take you out. And I want to introduce to you the strategies of how the devil infiltrates your life. I want to get you to the place where you not only understand it, but you will recognize it when you see it occurring, whether it's in your life or in the life of someone that you know, or maybe even the life of someone that you don't know, but God has given you the opportunity to minister to them, to let them know what's really going on. I want to show you something in the Word of God that oftentimes many of us have missed. I want to share that with you. So I encourage you, tune back in with me next Sunday, and we will give you the very strategy. The Bible says we're not ignorant of the devices and the strategies of the devil. And I'm going to show you how the devil actually infiltrates your life. So tune back in next week, and we'll have a good conversation about the things of God and how you can be triumphant even while you're being attacked. Mike Tyson used to say, everyone has a plan until they're hit. I want you to have a plan after you're hit and have already seen the hit coming, because the reality is you are going to get hit in this life. You can bob and weave all you want. Mike was really good at it, but he still got hit from time to time, and eventually it caught up with him and a couple people put him on his back. No matter how good you think you are, how strong in the faith you think you are, recognize the enemy's targeted you, but there's a way for you to be successful. So God bless you. I look to see you next week. Have a wonderful, wonderful Sunday.
This has been a production of the GMFC Studios. God bless you.